Hello and welcome to the call. This is Dotsie Briegel, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be located at nabbw.com and boomerwomenspeak.com, the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. Before we get started, I'd just like to let you know that if you would be kind enough to hit the six buttons on your phones, actually you have to push star six so that we can mute all background noises, and that's everyone except Joni, who I'll be interviewing today. At the end, we'll take a few questions, and actually for this call, we may even allow people to ask questions as we're going along, and at that time, I'll let you know when to push the star six so we can hear you for your question. So basically, I'm just going to interview Joni, and at different times during the call, we'll see if anyone has a question. And because sometimes those questions during the call can take the person that I'm interviewing in a different direction that may be of more interest to those who are on the call. Okay, so to get back to introducing myself, since launching Boomer Women Speak over 6 years ago, I've been connecting, encouraging, and supporting boomer women on a daily basis. I dedicate a great portion of my time to creating opportunities that inspire women to explore their passions and live them to the fullest. And by the grace of God, I've become the go-to person for journalists who are interested in learning more about our generation of women. Our sites are proudly sponsored by Me Again Products, which are tried and true products for midlife women, and they can be located at meagainonline.com. We have two other sponsors, one for those of you who are interested in natural digestive health solutions. You can find Sunsweet at plumsmart.net, and I just thought I would mention that we did a recent teleseminar about digestive health. So if you're a member of the association, you can locate that on the members benefits page, and it was pretty informative. So that's our Sunsweet sponsor. And then last but certainly not least, we have Elations, which is the daily drink supplement, and that contains glucosamine and chondroitin, and it offers relief from joint aches and pains. And it's an alternative to taking the big pills, because apparently the glucosamine and chondroitin pills are very big. So this is just a drink that you drink daily. And you can find them at elations.com. Okay, if you're on the call and you're not a member of the NABBW, I hope you'll feel free to join us. It's typically $75, but we like to offer a $25 discount to those listening in on our teleseminars. So if anyone's interested in joining, you can email me at dots@nabbw.com, and I'll send you a link to join for $50. One of the benefits of being a member is that we have an archive of over 50 of these teleseminars, and they pertain to all things boomer women. So whether it's you're interested in being a midlife entrepreneur, or if you're interested in finance at midlife, especially now with this market, or anything that pertains to boomer women, I'm sure we have a teleseminar for it. Okay, so this is one of our free educational opportunities once a member of the association. Let's get started. I'd like to introduce Joni Winberg, who is going to be our guest today. Joni, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Good, good. Okay, I'm going to ask if you can speak up just a little bit, because
Definitely.
We have all of these calls recorded, and then they're transcribed. So for people who can't be on the call, they can listen in at a later date, or they can read the transcription by either reading it on the computer screen or printing it and reading it at their convenience. So anyway, we have Joni today, who is the founder of the National Association of Divorce for Women and Children. Her passion is to help women during and after divorce to be the best they can be, as well as become role models for their children and community. The 24/7 resource center that she has at freshstartafterdivorce.com was created not only because of the lack of support and guidance that she experienced after her divorce, but also for the many women who experienced the same challenges. Joni is the divorce specialist for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. She became a successful business owner of a True Value hardware store at the age of 25. After 18 years in the retail arena, she embarked on a professional career as a speaker, an author, and business personal coach specializing in divorce. She's a certified behavior specialist and a certified laughter leader. She speaks around the country, and her diverse clientele is in the retail, healthcare, nonprofit sector, and education industries. She's also the author of Rising to the Top, A Guide to Self-Development. To continue to help provide a healthy lifestyle for women and children, Joni is also the founder of a nonprofit, which is called Happy Wednesday Foundation. And what's the link for that, Joni?
HappyWednesday.com.
HappyWednesday.com. Okay. And that provides funding for women's educational mentoring programs during and after divorce. She's a proud mother of two children, Christy, who's 27 and a doctor of audiology, and Michael, who's 24 and a graduate of Bentley College. So welcome to the call.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
We can tell by hearing your bio the things that you're passionate about.
Definitely.
And I guess because you work with people who are in the middle of divorce and after divorce, especially women, you, I guess, have learned a lot about what doesn't make a happy marriage, and therefore you can also kind of sift through and figure out what does make a happy marriage. And I can relate to that because my father-in-law was a very successful divorce lawyer many moons ago. And when my husband and I were getting married, he gave us some of the best advice for, like, keeping a healthy marriage. Mm-hmm. Because he had seen the reverse. And he knew what didn't work, so we could figure out what did work. And that's probably, I'm kind of figuring that's how you've come to this topic also.
Well, I'm also, from my own personal experience, have learned a lot, but also because I coach women all over the world and work with them, and also men. And I always like to say that I certainly don't want to work with men, but I find that women after divorce or during divorce are usually the first ones to raise their hands and say, help, or I need support. And men might not be as prone to do that.
Right.
But that's exactly it. Because I see so much of the relationships after they've gone through a divorce, and I definitely have learned so much about possibly what could help a couple stay together. And I have worked with couples to stay together, and that's really my mission because I prefer not to see them after divorce if possible. And I also see that if you can stay married, it's because divorce is so devastating for the family, the couple, but especially the children. So for me, if it can work out, in some cases it can't. If there's domestic violence or something that's not safe or something like that, you don't have a choice usually. But if it can be worked out, gosh, I really try hard to make it happen.
Yeah, because, it really does simplify things if you can stay in a marriage and be happy, for gosh sakes, because divorce really does complicate a lot of the relationships and family gatherings, et cetera, as many of us know. But, Joni, we know that more than 50% of all marriages end in divorce. And you shared a statistic that 70% of all women polled in a national survey said they felt like something was missing in their marriage. And I'd have to say that being at this stage in life, a baby boomer with, I had an emptiness, but now one of them has come back.
They moved back.
absolutely happens. We really need to make sure our marriages are healthy. And because, you find yourself back one-on-one with the person that you married many years ago without, all of the goings-on of the children. So it's really important, and, it's also something that we've talked about in the forum communities at Boomer Women Speak, and that is, what kinds of things do you do together in your marriage? What makes you happy in your marriage? What do you like? What do you not like? That type of thing. So that's why this topic was of interest to me, because I think, especially in this economy, some people can't afford to divorce, and that's really a sad thought, but they have to find ways to make it work. And so that's why I was I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say it's kind of a good or a bad thing. If it's a bad thing, if it's not a healthy relationship, where I always think of someone in a domestic violent type of a relationship, that's not healthy. But I think on the other hand, if it's a couple that has to stay together because they can't afford a divorce, maybe it will actually help them say, you know what, maybe we should take a look at this again and see what we can possibly do and maybe prevent divorce overall. So it can be a good or a bad thing. And for me, like we said before, it would always be hopefully they could work it out.
Right, right. Well, can you tell us or talk a little bit about what you like? Let me get this right here. A lot of women think back to what it was like when they first started dating their spouses. Mm-hmm. And you have some ideas on how to get that feeling back. Can you share
Absolutely.
Those with us?
Definitely. In fact, there's 5 tips on how to enjoy a happy marriage and keep it that way. And I'd love to go through that. And then, you know, as you had said earlier, that we can certainly open the lines up and if people have questions or want to share, because people learn so much also from hearing from others. But the first tip that I want to share is for us as women, or even for, you know, men, if not they're going to be listening here, but for both sides of the couple there, so to speak, to be aware of what do you focus on about your spouse or your partner. Are you focusing on their weaknesses or their quirks? I hear so many times people say, oh, that drives me crazy when they do that, but I don't hear a lot about, wow, you know, that person is just so helpful for that, or I really appreciate that person's value that they bring to the table, or this is their great strength, and thank goodness they do that. You know, I don't usually hear that as much. I usually hear people complaining. So I always say be aware and focus on the strengths and the value that each of you bring to the table, because we are all different, we are all unique, and we each have something to bring to that relationship. So for a great example, when we talked about when you mentioned about when we're dating, we generally are attracted to our opposites when we date. So for example, if you tend to be more analytical, you are attracted to someone who's more carefree and likes to have fun, because they're helping you out of your comfort zone and they're creating fun for you. A person who's more on the fun side usually likes to be connected to someone maybe who's a little bit more organized, mm-hmm. and can help them be organized. And these are great when you're dating. But talking to couples, what happens are those exact same things bug us about that person after we get married. For example, the person that was analytical maybe doesn't really care about going out that much anymore, where the person that's the fun person said, wait a minute, you loved going out when we were dating, and now you're kind of stuck in the muck here and don't want to go out, and I still want to go out and have fun. What's wrong with you? You know, so you can, they just tend to go back to who they really are, and they just might not want to do that anymore. So that becomes annoying to each other. So really to say, you know what, thank goodness you love to have fun, and thank goodness you help me be organized. So it's really what I'm saying here is to focus on the strengths and the value that your partner brings to the table, and to be aware of that. And then even the great thing is for each of you to make a list of what you see are their strengths and the value they bring to the table, and then honor them and let that person know. We'd love to hear about something good about ourselves. Don't we all love compliments?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't hear couples very often giving each other a lot of compliments.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because what you're talking about reminds me of, you know, it can become a very negative world with, you know, especially, you know, as we continue to mature and more people are getting sick or having heart problems or, you know, whatever it is. And just with the news on the television,
sure.
When you, and I started this many moons ago, counting blessings, like just writing down what I'm thankful for. And in the beginning, and I did it one whole summer, day after day when my kids were younger. And in the beginning, I didn't have a whole lot to write. I was just, it's ridiculous. I had the same life that I had, you know, a month later when I could get to like 60 things. But unless you focus on the positive, you just don't even realize what you're missing out on. And then, Joni, what you're saying about, you know, saying these things to the other person reminds me of something that I had learned a long time ago in this class at church, and it was about affirming one another. So, like what you're saying is, I like the way you do this, or thank you for taking out the trash, or, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, whatever it is, but just being appreciative and pointing out positive things. Mm-hmm. And trying not to say anything that's negative. Mm-hmm. And that can really make a difference. Now, do you have anything else to say about that? Because I thought what I might do is see if anybody has an example or something that they're stuck with in a negative mode with a spouse or something could share.
Sure, I'd say open it up, sure.
Okay, so if anybody has anything they want to share at this point, please push the *6 button and tell us what you're thinking. And we'll wait a second because sometimes people are shy. And then if no one comes on, we'll go with the next point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe no one wants to speak up
this
point.
Well, I think the biggest thing here is to be aware of how you are complimenting or lack of complimenting your spouse. I think part of it is just for people to be aware, because sometimes people are just, you know, critical of their partners, and they don't even realize it. So part of it is to really be aware of your language and how you're treating that other person, and to say, you know what, granted that does bug me, but you and I are not the same person, so that's your quirk, but this is my quirk, but I want to really focus on your strengths. And so that's the big key.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we move on to number two?
Okay, sure.
It's talking about to master the art of true listening. And the big word here is true. Now, I have worked with a couple in particular that I'm thinking of that felt that, especially the wife felt, that she wasn't being listened to or not heard. But as human beings, one of our basic needs is that we all want to feel heard and we all want to feel understood. So she said, you know, I just don't feel as though he ever listens to me. So, in fact, most women are like, oh, boy, I'm cluing into this one because this is so much what's going on for us. And the woman gave me the vision of her sitting next to her husband on the couch, and she's trying to share something, and he's saying, I'm listening, hon, but he's got the remote in his hand, and he's clicking away. And it got to a point where she was really frustrated, and it was affecting their marriage. And I said, okay, if you guys are ready to play in a game for this, then this is what I'd like you to do. For three times each week, I want you to take 15 minutes for just the two of you. I want you to unplug. No computers, no cell phone, no TV, nothing. So they felt what would work for them is to take a walk together, because that way they couldn't be tempted with anything if the phone rang or anything. So what happened at first, they're taking these walks, they felt a little awkward. They're like, okay, Joni said we're supposed to do this, but what are we supposed to be doing? And, you know, so, but I gave them the assignment that what you want to be doing is sharing something with the other person. But the key is that after that person is done, you need to repeat it back to that person so that, number one, you have to listen, and number two, that person feels heard and feels and knows that you have listened. And this is the skill that you need to learn. And then you want to ask the question, did I get that right? Or is there anything else you want to add or anything that, you know, you want to share more of? And what that does is then open up the conversation even more. The person could say, you know, you did hear that correctly, but I wanted to tell you more, a little bit more. And it just keeps that conversation going back and forth. What happened with this couple, which was wonderful, was that once they got into this as a habit, a good habit, they couldn't imagine those times that they wouldn't have with each other. They just always looked forward to them. Plus, they learned so much about each other that they didn't even know, because they never stopped to listen and really talk with the other person really listening. So it was such a win-win. They were shocked about what they learned about each other and how the other person really felt. And it was a beautiful thing, and it really helped their relationship. So that's a good example of the art to master the art of true listening.
Okay, good, Joni. And, you know, it's funny because this reminds me of information that I learned in a parenting class Actually, I used to teach a parenting class. And so much of this is about communicating and just and being good listeners. And it sounds kind of corny to do some of these things, but you know what? To make a marriage or a relationship work, you have to do it because this is what makes a relationship good.
Yes.
And I think, you know, let me ask a question of you. What if you're married to someone who just throws up a red flag every time you say, I would like us to try this, or can we please just try this for 15 minutes a week, and they're negative and they say no? What do you recommend? Because I know women who are in marriages, and it's upsetting to me that their husband won't even cooperate or do anything to help the marriage.
Well, then at that point there, you probably need to go to a third party who can be the referee or who can hold each one accountable and do that, because this woman came to me and the husband was game to play, or, you know, wanting to play or willing to play. But as far as, you know, it really gets down to basics, and this is what I explained to both the men and the women, is that we're not talking about, you know, any new earth-shattering information here. People today need to get back to basics, and this is where we get lost. We have so much going on in our life, we forget. And so if you don't have a partner that's wanting to play with you or at least willing to try, then it is frustrating, and they probably need to be held more accountable by a third party who could be a counselor, or especially in this couple here, she really felt it was becoming a problem. And
right.
Some of these, the same women that you're talking about. And I think at that point there, when I talked with both of them, and it was fortunate because I was able to be in person, then I think he was almost too embarrassed to say no, and so he went along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But to his surprise, it really worked out well.
Right. Well, you know, I have a question that's really kind of broad, and I know there's not one answer, but if you're in a marriage with someone who isn't willing to work with you and isn't willing to go to therapy and thinks that they're right, et cetera, and I know women in these situations.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is that enough to say, you know, I'm leaving, or just kind of do something dramatic to wake them up, or...
Well, I, for me, it's an individual situation.
Mm-hmm, sure.
If it's to a point where you have tried everything, and if the person won't go to a counselor and feels as though everything is fine, then you really have to listen to your gut.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to be honest with yourself to say, you know what, is this the way I want to spend the rest of my life? You know, don't I deserve to either be listened to or have a person who feels that I'm important enough or respects me enough to say, I want to hear what you have to say? Because, you know, that's what true love is all about. So if a person won't even give you the time or treat you with that respect that what you have to say is important, then to me there's some really big issues there.
Right, right.
And
okay.
So anyway, so that's number two, is to really practice that. But the key is not just to say, you know, to listen, but the key is to repeat back what you heard, because that really makes sure that person's listening.
Right.
That's the most important part.
Okay, so let's go to number three, and then we'll see if anybody has a question. How's that?
Okay. Number three is to treat your spouse as you would a stranger. When you think about it, I am amazed when I see people and the first time they meet somebody, oh my goodness, they can't do enough for that person. They're kind, they're respectful, they're patient, and I think this is really what bugs some women when they can't get their husband to communicate with them, but then they meet somebody as a business partner or someone in a party or whatever, and all of a sudden they're understanding and they're patient and they're listening and respectful, and it's like, what gives here? You know, what's going on? So I look at it as like your spouse is someone that you married, that you say you love, and you've built probably, you know, a home together, or maybe you have a business together, or you have children together. Why do you not treat that spouse or the other person like you would someone you totally have no connection with and never or just met?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always baffled with that whole thing, but really if both parties can say, you know what, I honor you, and that's the whole thing about marriage, is say, I honor you, I love you, and I respect you, and I want you, and I want to treat you like a better than a stranger who I might never ever see again. So I always get baffled on that one myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's great advice for a couple to work on. Pretty obvious, but yet it's something of back to basics.
Right. Okay, so let's see. If anybody wants to ask a question or comment on anything that Joni's talked about to this point, go ahead and push *6 and let us hear from you. Okay, I guess we have some shy people on the call. Okay, let's go to, hello, is someone there? No, I thought I heard somebody click.
Me too. Number four is to never...
Oh, hello, yes, we can hear you.
Hi.
Oh, hi. My name's Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Just going back to what Dottie was just saying about if your partner doesn't want to cooperate and doesn't want to get involved in your situation, and that you get to the point where you want to call it quits.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if your husband starts accusing you of being selfish then? I mean, can you just sit there and say, yes, it's about time I've become selfish because you haven't been giving me any respect, et cetera?
Well, personally, I just had a vision that I went back to my, because I was married for 20 years, and I had heard that. And it was when I finally got the guts to speak up and take care of me and take care of my
mm-hmm.
boundaries, and I heard, you know, you're being selfish or you're being too sensitive. And I just thought, you know what, at that, before I understood that, I would think, oh, man, I must be, you know, what's wrong with me? And then I'd go back into my old behavior until it would surface again and just bother me to that point where I would get enough guts to speak up again. And then when I really,
mm-hmm.
really found out through my own counseling, through that whole process, and then more and more that I even work with couples, is that the person who had, was just passive aggressive, and that passive aggressive stuff is so controlling and really
mm-hmm.
Made me feel so awful that I had no right to expect any of this, which no one should ever feel that way. And you have a right to feel good, and you have a right to be heard and be respected. And that, and a person that's passive aggressive is a very difficult person or a very difficult situation to live with. But once again, that's my personal experience. I still say, you know, I always advise people to go and get counseling or talk to a family counselor, because if you want to save the marriage, then that person has to come along and want to help to make it better. If they don't, then sometimes it doesn't leave you much of another choice. Does that answer a little bit?
Yes. I think I'm definitely in the same position that you were in.
Well, let me add this, Peggy. Mm-hmm. If you don't look out for yourself and your spouse isn't, who
mm-hmm.
will?
Right.
So
exactly.
You just have to, you know, you do have to put yourself first. I mean, in a marriage, we're supposed to outdo one another with kindness. That's something I always go back to.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
if we aren't, you know, putting one another first and looking out for each other's best interest, then who will look out for ours? If our spouse isn't doing it, we need to do it for ourselves. And so, you know, I would say you just need to stand up for yourself and say, you know, if you want to call me selfish, call me selfish. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, everybody has needs, and my needs aren't being met, you know, that type of thing. But I think that Joni's right in mentioning this whole passive-aggressive thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Does it hit in
really? And it's very hard. It's very controlling because, you know, and when you doubt yourself to that degree and you don't believe in yourself, and my self-esteem was so low at that time, you know, I would immediately just go back into the old self, like, well, I just, you know, I better stop thinking about that, those kind of things, or maybe I am being selfish. And then my gut would tell me maybe a month later, and I would come back to the same conclusion that, you know what, this still doesn't feel right. And so, you know, part of it is to listen to your gut, but it's scary. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like, am I right? Or I'm questioning myself. I'm, And that's when it's good to go and get some kind of support to really help you sort it out and to know that it is not wrong to want to have respect and be heard and not to be treated that way.
Yeah, and also, you know, for anyone listening on the call, if your spouse won't go with you, go for yourself. I mean, because, you know, the bottom line is if we think there's something happening in the marriage or they're not willing to work at it and they're not willing to go with you, you still need to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, going and dumping on a therapist or something can just give you more strength, I think, to, and, you know, you become more confident and better able to make whatever decision you decide to make about a marriage.
And a lot of, and you'll get more clarity. And part of it, too, is I've learned to listen to my gut and to listen or to be aware of those red flags because I just thought, is this the way I'm supposed to be living? Is this normal? Is this how other couples are? And you know, and then I came to the conclusion, it's like, no, I want better for me, and I want to be mm-hmm. in a situation where I feel that I'm honored. I want to honor them. I want to be kind to them, but I also feel as though I deserve it myself. And Dotsie, I think you made a great point. It's like, if they don't go for yourself.
Right. And you know what? I just received an email from someone else who's on our call, one of our members, and they said to ask Peggy simply if the statement is true. Are you selfish? And if you're not selfish and you know you're not selfish, move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that came from somebody else that's on the call that didn't want to interrupt. So, I mean, but that, you know, really, if you ask yourself that question and you know you're not selfish, then it doesn't have any value.
Mm-hmm. And Tony, you're right. It's the gut feeling.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I know I'm right. And things like that.
Okay, Peggy, feel free to ask another question, but we're going to see, does anybody else have a question or comment to this point? And then we're going to move on to, I think, number four.
Okay.
Anyone else? You'd have to push star six. Okay, you want to go move on, Joni?
Definitely. Number four is to never stop spoiling each other. And I have heard even just from other couples, and they've made the same comments to what I had said here. They said, you know what, when we stop spoiling each other, something happened to the marriage. And so it's not that you have to plan a big weekend away or a whole week vacation. Of course, we'll take that, but, I mean, it doesn't have to be that. But I always think if the spoiling stops, the marriage is in trouble. But the whole key is to keep it simple. It doesn't have to be a big ordeal. If you know that person is running late and they're coming home, well, what would be something that they would love to have at the door? You know, maybe it's a cup of tea or a glass of wine or a cup of coffee or something, you know, that type of thing. My daughter and her husband, they've only been married about 2.5 years. And, you know, if she's running late, she'll call. And for her, it's a great thing if he gets the dinner started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they're having rice or something or whatever, or they puts the grill on and starts grilling. But, you know, that is just the spoiling. And it can be any little thing you can think of that person, it would mean a lot to that person, would instantly bring them some joy, and they would bring a big smile to their face, and they would just be so honored to think that you think not only enough of them to do it, but you knew enough to do it.
Right. And, you know, Joni, with today's technology, I think it's great the way you can text one another in the middle of a work day or email one another, leave voicemails, whatever. There are just so many ways to communicate these days. And I think that's really helpful. In fact, I was reading this article about the benefits of text messaging, which I thought was kind of funny. And this therapist was saying that he had a couple in his office who were going through a really hard time, and they found that when one of them, and I think it's kind of pathetic, but if it works, one of them would be upstairs and the other one was downstairs, and they would text message each other whatever their argument was. They were doing it by text messaging. Mm-hmm. And they could work it out because they weren't, yelling and screaming and getting sidetracked. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, that is, like, way too funny for me. But I guess, you know, after reading, I thought, well, I guess it makes sense, you know, because you just
never know.
Yeah. So you have to do whatever works, I guess.
Well, it almost reminds me of Twitter. You only have 140 characters, too.
Right. So it's like, you know, you get the main point across. And then, you sit and you read, and then you have to respond. So you're listening. You've got to be reading and hearing them in order to respond. And, you know, so anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
I want you to hold that thought, because after we do number five, I'm going to actually talk a little bit about more communicating with each other.
Okay.
So kind of hold that thought as far as, you know, why they're even arguing to begin with and what usually causes a lot of the arguing.
Okay.
So just kind of hold that thought. But you know, be creative of how you can spoil each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once again, I always say go back to, you know, when 20 years later, I know it's 20 years later and people get, you know, bored or whatever, but it's like be creative and have some fun. And by spoiling each other, to me, it just kind of recharges the marriage. And now all of a sudden, people are just trying to outdo each other to say, wow, they really spoiled me. And it was so much fun. But then the other person feels just as happy because they see how much it meant to that person. And then the other person tries to outdo the other one. So when you can get caught up in that, I mean, goodness, it's just a wonderful thing. So once again, it's focusing on simple little things, but can really make a difference.
Right. Now, do you want to see if anybody else has anything to say at this point? Okay, why don't we? And it can be just about anything on the topic. So just push *6, and even if it's a comment or something that, you know, you've heard that is helpful on this topic, that's fine too. So push *6, and if we don't hear anything, we'll move on to number 5. Okay, why don't we move on?
Sure. So number 5 is talking a little bit what you said before about kindness. You know, it's along with the spoiling, but of course doing an act of kindness. I'm always so impressed of how people do acts of kindness for strangers, and I say keep it going, never stop, because that's a wonderful thing. But don't forget your spouse. You know, it's like, you know, think about how you feel when you do an act of kindness for a stranger or in your spouse and how that other person feels. And that's so important to continue with the act of kindness to do something. And what does that really say to that person? You know, I care enough to think about doing it, and I love you, and I want to show my love. So a simple little thing as much as doing an act of kindness.
And do you have anything, you know, any good examples of, like, an act of kindness or something like that that you'd want to share, just simple little things? I mean, I remember at one time.
Well,
go ahead.
Say, even with my former marriage, when we both ran the hardware store together, and I was running busy with the kids that day, and he was manning the store, and I would just stop and get a cup of coffee and bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, I still do that today, even though we're divorced. It's been 12 years later. And sometimes he'll, because I don't own the hardware store anymore, but he might allow me to have a piece of equipment to help me in the yard or something. And just to show my appreciation. I mean, he's shocked the first time I did this. And I brought him a cup of coffee, and I said, you know, you didn't have to do that, but I so appreciate it. And, you know, his a cup of coffee to show my appreciation. And, of course, he didn't charge me for it either. So, for me, it was just, you know, but that was even when we were married. That was just a little thing. All it was a cup of coffee. But, and when he did one time, I remember I was taking a course, and in my book, he had written little notes with just a smiley face on it. So when I'd open up the chapter, there'd be a little note in there, or it was, you know, see you later, or have fun, or, I mean, just that little silly thing that he took the time, found my book, and inserted little notes inside.
You know? Right. And that reminds me of something that we do that I just love is if we're coming and going and we're not here at the same time, we always leave notes to one another on the counter. You know, just put the time on it and where we're going or what we're doing and see you soon or catch you later or meet you here or whatever. And that, I've taught my kids to do that because I think that it's just a thoughtful thing to do for the people you're living with. So everybody knows where everybody is and, you know, that type of thing. You know, another thing that my husband and I often do for one another is we put toothpaste on the other's toothbrush. If, like, you know, I'm going to bed and I'm brushing my teeth first and then I'll get his out and put toothpaste on it for him because he's probably coming in right behind me. Or, you know, starting the shower or just, you know, gosh, there are so many simple little things.
So many. They don't even have to cost any money at all. So this is really, a lot of these things we're talking about, it doesn't matter what the economy is doing because these are basic things that we should be doing for our marriage all the time.
Right.
And so when you start to think about it, when you put it all together, and you're, and just imagine the different energy of this relationship. If you're focusing on their strengths, and you're truly listening, and you're treating them better than a stranger by being respectful and all that, and you're spoiling them, like, I love the toothbrush and all that, but also continuing on the same idea of an act of kindness that you literally thought of that. So can you imagine? In fact, I would question myself is how could a marriage fail if people were doing this unless it was a serious situation?
Right. Well, you know what, Joni? I think what happens is I just refer to them is a rut. People just get in ruts.
Yep.
And maybe after hearing what you have to say today, it can just, you know, put a whole different spin on it and kind of get you back to maybe where you were when you were happier in your marriage by just focusing on the positive, you know, affirming one another, doing nice things for each other, putting one another first. It just, I think, is the right way to think about marriage. But you know, in this day and age, when you're everybody's so busy and running here and there, you kind of forget your biggest advocate in life if you're married, and that should be your spouse.
Absolutely. And think about when you were dating. I mean, did you not go out of the way for each other? Did you not do those little spoiling things? I remember, you know, even someone else, not necessarily my husband at that time, but, you know, he just show up and have a rose in his hand. I mean, gosh, almighty, those are just simple little things, but you know, it just feels as though you would talk for hours on the phone and the person was really listening. And it's, you know, what the heck happened? So for me, it's like back to basics. I mean, today's economy, you hear about going back to basics, that companies are going back to basics. You know, if a sports team isn't doing well, they always say, well, we better get back to the basic skills and practice. And, you know, everything is back to basics. And I really think that that has to apply to our marriage. And so when people can just be aware of these things, and if you have someone that you can be working with to say, you know what, I just heard some great tips. They're simple. They're not going to cost us anything. And, you know, how can we put these things into our lives, into our marriage, and have them be part of our life every day?
Right. All right, now let's see if anybody has any questions, because we do have a couple resources and things we'd like to mention before the call is over. But if anybody has a question, please speak up now or a comment, and we'll see if Joni can help you here. Okay, I guess I'm guessing nobody has anything.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Joni, I'm enjoying this so much.
Oh, thanks.
You're really good. I just wanted to make a comment on what you were saying about trying all these things. To me, it would be even more fun and maybe even put a little more mystery or spark back into it if you didn't tell that you were doing these things. And just
that's even better. Yeah,
and
just
see
do
what
it.
Happens, because I think you might get excited when you see a positive reaction.
Oh, yeah, no, that's part of the whole thing is that, you know, if you're going to do an act of kindness or spoil it, I wouldn't even say anything. I'd just do it.
Yeah.
Because you're really doing it without expecting something in return, and that's the key here.
Right. You're hoping, but you're not expecting.
Good point. Good point. You're hoping that he's going to amp it up and try to outdo you. You know?
So I think it might make you even want to do more, and then they're going to think, hey, that was pretty neat, and they might try something of their own. And anyway, I just wanted to make that comment.
Oh, well, thanks. And the thing of it is, the receiver and the giver both get so much out of it.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. I mean, you know, sometimes you wonder if your children are listening, and they, you know, but as they get older, you find out that they have listened somewhat. And now my daughter's married and in her 20s, and I always talked about doing an act of kindness for strangers, and I remember giving her an example, and we've all heard it, where if you're in a coffee line or drive up in a coffee drive up lane there, and you just decide to pay for the person behind you their cup of coffee. And so she called me one morning. She goes, Mom, this really works. And I said, why? What happened? And she said, well, I was so stressed out that morning, and I was waiting for the person to hand me my coffee. So I decided, you know, I've got to help myself a little bit here and kind of de-stress. So she said, I decided to try this, and I said to the lady at the window, you know what, I don't know what the person behind him is getting, but here's a couple of bucks and put it towards their coffee. And so she said, I never knew who it was. I never knew what their reaction was. But she said, all I knew is that I drove away, and I felt great because maybe I helped their day, and maybe they have a whole different outlook on their day because they got a free cup of coffee. So, you know, that to me was just a wonderful thing to hear of something like that. So, like you said, it's not planned. You just go do it and have fun.
Yeah, and you know what? We have when we've gone on trips and had to take two cars, we've done that when we've gone through, like, you know, when you have to pay a toll.
Yes.
And if my husband's ahead of me, he'll sometimes pay for me, or if I'm, now we have speed pass, so we don't do it anymore. But it's just such a pleasant surprise to pull up and think, oh, my gosh, that was so nice. Just, I mean, you know,
isn't it
something little. Yeah, so, you know, I think it's important for us to all just kind of think, okay, what nice little things, you know, can we do for one another? What, you know, whatever it is that we're already doing on a regular basis, just kick it up a notch. I mean, if you already, you know, feed your husband dinner every night, just put a placemat down and a napkin and, you know, and set the table a little differently, or light a candle, or, you know, whatever.
Well, part of it, too, is once again, is to be aware, because I think we get so caught up in our everyday stuff that we're almost like robots, and we do our deal, we do what we got to do, but we don't consciously be present in the moment and just say, you know what, let's just all do something good here for each other.
Yes.
And that's part of it. We got to be conscious.
Right. Well, that's a good point. And, you know, there's something else I wanted to throw in this teleseminar, because just like women go through menopause and it does affect our moods, et cetera, men also go through, of course, a similar midlife crisis. And we've done a teleseminar before with Jed Diamond, and we're going to be doing another one with him. But Jed has two websites. He wrote the book, The Irritable Male Syndrome. And the reason I mention this is because we interviewed him, and we have one of his teleseminars archived in our member benefits area, and it's excellent. Because what he does is he points out what men are going through and why men are often in the funk that they're in, and how to help them get out of these funks. And I just think it's a huge part of this, because it's really not only about us, it's about them and what they're going through too. And being able to understand a midlife man and what they're going through can help us. So I just want to share, his web address is theirritablemail.com. And he also has another site called menalive.com. And he's written several books, and his name is Jed, J-E-D, Diamond, D-I-A-M-O-N-D, and we're going to be interviewing him again this year. So I just thought I'd mention that, because I think that's a big piece of the puzzle. We have to consider what men are going through at midlife, too. Okay, and then let's see. There's something, Joni, that you have on your Happy Wednesday site. It's an assessment. You want to tell us about that?
It's actually called a self-discovery report. So ask yourself these questions that, or maybe you've asked yourself these questions concerning your spouse or partner. Why did they do that? what were they thinking or what were they not thinking? And sometimes we might even ask ourselves, what is the matter with that person? Why can't they be more normal like me? So what this is really saying is to communicate with each other and to try to understand each other, and we don't have a manual, but to try to understand each other, sometimes it feels like you have a blindfold on in a dark room and you're trying to find the light switch. It's frustrating, it's stressful, but there is hope. And this program, or this self-discovery report that I'm going to tell you about, I've used it a million times with women and men individually and as couples, and it's actually a certified behavior specialist with Dr. Robert Rohn out of Georgia. And this program is now, the governor of Georgia has passed it to be in the schools, and Texas is bringing it into their schools. So it's also for kids and teachers and every human being. But if you go to happywednesday.com, and you will see on the left-hand side there's several links. And if you just click on assessments, and it will open up to a page, and it will have a big white box that says Discover Yourself Report. And just so that you'll understand what this is all about, we want to look for number 3002. Once you open up that page, you scroll down, number 3002. It's like a $12.95, and they take 10% off. It changes people's lives because what at first you learn this formula. First you learn to understand why you do what you do. Most people aren't even quite clued into that. And then you understand why the other person does what they do. And then you put it all together and you create a better relationship. And as Dr. Robert Rohn always says, that if I understand you and you understand me, chances are that we'll have a better relationship. So what you learn about this here, first of all, is how you interpret things. Because you hear things differently, every human being does. There's nobody else like us. We're definitely all unique. So I hear things differently than you do. I have a different perspective than you do. But we all forget that. We all think that everyone thinks the same way that we do. And we also, if people do something that they feel as though someone did it on purpose, it's generally because we take it personally, but that person hasn't done it on purpose. They're doing basically something for who they are. So if people can understand that, and I always say to parents, because I work a lot with parents too, and I say, you know what you're saying is not necessarily what your kids are hearing.
Right.
Same thing for your spouse. What you're saying is not necessarily what they're hearing. They're hearing the information based on their style, on their personality. And when people understand this and get it, oh my goodness, it's like the doors are opened and the awareness, and people are just getting along unbelievably. So,
that's good. Now let me just ask you about this assessment. When you go there and you can pay for it online and you take it, is it something that you take online and you, Joni Winberg, get the results, or is it something
Someone puts in their email, it puts my email in there, they will send the results back to me. And then if someone does do that, what I can do is then send them, because I have a wonderful recording of where I was talking with a group of parents working with their children, but it's also the same idea that you'd be applying to spouse or children or boss.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I will be very happy to send that to you as a gift. So if you go on there and you get the assessment, and then my phone number is there too, so if you want any explanation. But this recording that I have really will walk you through the whole process and give you some great information about what that whole report means. It's only 24 simple little, it's not even little questions, it's basically deciding what you like most, what you like least, and what you like most. And it will spit out letters that actually will describe you, and every person that has taken this has said, oh my goodness, this is right on, it just narrows me, it nails me exactly who I am and why I do what I do, and it's such an eye-opener.
Okay, now, Joni, so it's not the kind of thing that you can print and do on your own, because if you do that, then you don't get any response.
What do you mean is that?
Like, can you actually get the assessment and print it and do it
No, you don't print it out. You know, you do it online.
Oh, okay. So it is done online. All right. I guess that was my question.
You do it online, and then what happens? Then you have a four-page report that you can print out that's all about you.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, good. I'm glad I asked that question. All right, good.
And then all they have to do is it will ask you, you know, do you want this to be sent anywhere else? And so I'll make sure that everyone has my email so that they can plop my email in there, and then I can send them that link to hear that whole program to help them understand the assessment even more.
Okay, good. Now, I just want to mention you were talking about how everyone hears something differently, and I have to tell you that, you know, we have this forum community at Boomer Women Speak. There are over 60 forums, and every forum is a topic that pertains to all things Boomer Women. So there are things in there about elder care and retirement and, you know, grandchildren, whatever. And it is so true that everyone comes to that forum with their own perspective and everything that they've lived in their life before them. And it's funny because my assistant, Georgia Richardson, and I think have a lot in common, and we do think a lot alike in many ways. And sometimes in the forums, we interpret a post completely differently.
Absolutely.
And it's just interesting because, you know, we have to moderate these forums. And sometimes it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, what do you think of this? And I'm like, nope, don't think anything of it. Or I'm like, what do you think of this? Nope, don't think it. You know, like, and it's just interesting because I honestly believe that everything that we've lived in our life prior to this moment has something to do with how we respond to life, period. And
plus our personalities is basically, and this is what's great about this assessment or the self-discovery report, it shows you two charts. One is how you adapt to your environment, and the other one is your DNA, how you're born. And it's really amazing because that is how we're born. And I've done this self-discovery report I don't know how many times thinking, oh, I can fool this thing, and I'm still the same person, no matter what.
Right.
Because it just nails it. It just tells you who you are. But that's the most important thing. So let me make sure everyone has my email, because if they go on there, this information will be really good. It'll walk them through, and they'll understand the report even more.
Okay.
So it's a very simple email. It's jw@joan, and that's J-O-A-N, and then my last name is W-I-N-B-E-R-G, and that's G as in goat, .com, so it's jw@joanwinberg.com, and just include that when you're taking your report, because there's a spot that you can have it sent somewhere else besides your own email, and I would get the report, I would get the response, I would know it, and then I'll email you back that recording, so that will actually give you even more information on how to understand the report even more.
Okay, great. Do you have anything else you want to add? Why don't you tell us your web addresses one more time, the Happy Wednesday and the
two of them. HappyWednesday.com is where you will find the self-discovery report. And also, as far as the National Association of Divorce for Women and Children, that is NADWC.org, and also there's great resources, but it's a resource if you know someone who's going through a divorce or after divorce, then that's what it's actually created for them, or someone who's even single again through the loss of a loved one, that's once again gives some great information for them too.
Okay, but what about your freshstartafterdivorce.com?
That's the same thing as the
NADWC?
Right, yeah.
Ah, it's Fresh exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that, you know what? I was confused because when I go to your site, I go to Fresh Start After Divorce, not
right.
any.
It will always, right. It will always
okay, gotcha.
It. Right. Yeah, it was always directed there. Yep.
Okay, great. All right. Now, let's just see if anybody has one more question or comment before we close this call. And if so, you have to push *6 so we can hear you. Anybody have anything to say? Okay, I think that that about ties things up.
Well, and
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Call. I was going to say, great call, Dotsie. I really enjoyed being here.
Oh, gosh, thanks for doing it. And I'm really hoping and praying that it makes a difference in couples' lives everywhere, because it's so much better to be happy in a marriage than miserable, isn't it? You
okay.
know?
Definitely.
Okay, well, thanks so much for all your valuable information. We appreciate it. And thanks, everyone, for being on the call. Have a great day.